committee, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be a part of this first of its kind, and I believe only of its kind, debate of our gubernatorial candidates here as we look at this very important election in 2018. Nothing is more important to the Republican Party than defeating Andrew Cuomo. It is absolutely the number one objective of the Erie County Republican Committee to do everything we can, and we thought it was very important to bring these candidates to you so that you can hear them, you can see them in action, and let them lay out their case as to why they should be the one to defeat Andrew Cuomo and start the movement today that's going to lead to big victories on Election Day. I want to ask our State Chairman, Ed Cox, who's joined us, to come up here and say just a few words, if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome, fellow Republicans and friends. I got to tell you, this is a very important election coming up. 11 years of governors from one party, 11 years too much. We need change. We need to elect a Republican governor. This state is the least business-friendly state in the United States. We have the highest taxes. We have the most burdensome regulations. We have the highest debt per capita. This state has been going downhill under the three Democratic governors that we have had. If you want proof of it, of the job-killing abilities of Governor Cuomo, who's now been governor for 7 years, just look at what he did in the Southern Tier when he killed the natural gas industry there completely. We're the only state that has huge supplies of natural gas and not developing them. And then he killed the pipelines that would carry the gas from Pennsylvania, good American gas, cheap, clean, to replace dirtier foreign oil in New England. He killed those pipelines just because he wanted to please the special interests of his party for his own political ambitions. Killing jobs in New York State, that's not good. You know, New York State is a blue state, but we are not Manhattan West Side blue. We are blue-collar blue. That's New York State, and New York State wants good jobs, and Republican governors will bring good jobs to New York State. New York State, in 2016, we'll soon get the 2017 numbers, the national economy grew at 1.9%. New York State's economy grew at 0.4%. Less than one quarter of the national economy. Those are the numbers, those are the facts, and that's what this governor has done to New York State. Unemployment, it's going down nationally, but in every region of New York State, every region of upstate New York, in every region except for New York City, unemployment has gone up in the last 12 months, not down like it's going in the national economy. That's because of Governor Cuomo and his job-killing policies for his own political ambitions. We need a Republican governor to get things right. Because we Republicans believe in freedom and opportunity and fiscal responsibility. Those are the things we believe in. Limited government, local control on the national level, strong national defense. These are the principles that we need in New York State governor. You're going to see our great candidates here. One of them is going to be the next governor of New York State and bring those principles to bear here. We need change in here in New York. We need a Republican governor. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have several guests here. This is really a regional event. We are streaming this debate on Facebook Live. So people at home, welcome, and they're joining us if they weren't able to make it here today. We have New York State Supreme Court Justice John Curran running for re-election. I know we have Erie County Family Court Judge Lisa Block-Rodwin is here. I want to thank them for being here. My great partner, and we've won so many elections here in dark blue Erie County, and we've set a precedent as to how we can do it across this dark blue state, the Conservative Party Chairman of Erie County, Ralph Lurigo. We're joined here by a lot of my colleagues from around the region of the state, our vice chairman, the Orleans County Republican chairman, and a great friend, Ed Morgan. We also have with us the Cattaraugus County Republican chairman, Bob Keese. And we have the Ontario County Chairwoman, Tricia Turner. I want to introduce our timekeeper, the Amherst Republican Chairman, Joe Hines, who is going to be giving the signals. And with us, our moderator. She is an incredibly impressive person that I've had the pleasure to work with for over a decade now. We ran a lot of races together. But she also went on to greatness as the communications director for the NRCC, the House Republican campaign arm, but also the NRSC in big years where they won a lot of seats. She's a real pro. She's agreed to help us moderate today. Now she's, I can't remember her title at Mercury Public Affairs, but she's going to do a great job for us today. Welcome, Andrea Bozick. And without further ado, we're going to get to our candidates. And first, we will start with Mr. Joe Holland. Cornell educated. His whole family attended Cornell University. A businessman, an all-American academic football star, Harvard Law School, a JD, lawyer, businessman, ordained minister, has been involved and empowered people throughout New York State. And as a political official, he was counsel to the New York State Senate Housing Committee, the New York State Housing Commissioner under Governor George Pataki, and the co-chair of the Pataki for Governor campaign. Welcome, Joe Holland, candidate for governor. Next, New York State Senator John DeFrancisco. John DeFrancisco graduated from Syracuse University College of Engineering and Duke Law School. He went on to serve as judge advocate in the U.S. Air Force before entering private practice in law and owning a successful Syracuse-based law firm. John was first elected to the state Senate in 1992 and currently serves as the deputy majority leader. He previously served as chairman of the Senate Finance and Judiciary Committees, and prior to his time in the Senate, John served as president of the Syracuse Common Council and president of the Syracuse Board of Education. John and his wife Linda have three grown children, eight grandchildren, and reside in Syracuse, New York. Please welcome New York State Senator John DeFrancisco. And next, our hometown candidate here. And the campaigns provided me with the introductions, by the way. I want to give them credit. Joel Giambra was born on the west side of the great city of Buffalo. From his humble and modest upbringing, he would learn the lessons of hard work and dedication. He was introduced to the importance of public service as a young man working in the city parks department. Inspired by what he had learned at age 24, he ran and elected one of the youngest councilmen in the city's history. He would then go on to be elected controller of the city of Buffalo, and then in 1999 was approached by the Republican Party leadership to run for Erie County Executive. Against great odds in a 3-to-1 Democrat to Republican enrollment disadvantage, Joel would go on to be elected Erie County's 6th County Executive, returning the seat to Republican control. As County Executive, he was ahead of the curve on issues such as consolidation, regionalism, eliminating wasteful duplicative services, and he also was one of the first County Executives to take the fight against the state's unfair, unfunded mandates even before it was a household term. Today, Joel is a businessman who spends much of his time and energy building housing in the old neighborhoods on the west side. He has jumped into the race for governor of New York State and still has a deep desire to serve because he knows from his experience, leadership, and background that he can turn around New York State. Ladies and gentlemen, former Erie County Executive Joel Giambra. The rules are very simple. We will have 90-second introductory statements. Then whoever gets the question gets a 90-second response, and the subsequent candidates get 60-second responses. There is a lightning round where they will be asked to give one-word answers. Then there will also be closing statements of 90 seconds. And without further ado, I'm going to turn things over to our moderator, Andrea Bozick.
Thanks, Nick. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay. All right, so we did a random selection for our opening statements, and we're going to start with Mr. Joe Holland. You have 90 seconds.
Thank you so much, Chairman Langworthy, and all of you for having this debate today. It's good to be back in Buffalo. When I was Pataki's housing commissioner, I had a Buffalo office, was here quite a bit. I have a family homestead in Auburn, New York, and family still in Auburn, Syracuse, and Buffalo. As a Cornell All-American, I did get a free agent offer from the Buffalo Bills, decided to go to Harvard Law School instead, a decision I still think about. And finally, Jack Kemp was a mentor of mine when he was at HUD. I was housing commissioner, and he even came to do a fundraiser for me in New York City and actually threw me a pass during the event, which I managed to catch and almost knocked over a couple of the attendees. But those are my connections to Buffalo. Really glad to be here. There is a failed New York State governor, and I'm the candidate with the profile because of my upstate roots as well as my downstate credibility and track record who can move the numbers both upstate and downstate in a positive direction to give us a winning gubernatorial election in 2018.
Next, Mr. John DeFrancesco.
Thank you, and thanks to Chairman Langworthy. Only he could seem to put these things together. This is an amazing turnout for a very, very important event. And I'm happy that Chairman Cox is here because he's pledged that this is the year we take back the New York State government. We take back the top of it and then reform the rest of it. I had some connection with George Pataki as well. I used to tell him how to answer questions on the Senate floor. And I handled his Central New York campaign when he was running. He's a good friend, and he was a great governor. And that's what we got to get back to. I did play sports. I wasn't an All-American. But I was a captain of the Syracuse University baseball team. And I'm proud to tell you that they retired my number. Isn't that important? But I got to be honest, because the New York Times has called me a irascible straight shooter. I'm honest because they got rid of baseball about 4 years after I left, so they retired all the numbers at the same time. But I'm a fighter. That's my reputation, and I'm going to fight to make sure that we change the direction of the state. You can't just do it around the edges as a member of the state Senate. You have to do fundamental change. And to make fundamental change, we have to take over the position of governor of the state of New York. I believe I can do that.
Mr. Giambra.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to be back in Buffalo. I've spent the last couple of weeks traveling the state, and it's a big state. And I've had the pleasure of meeting so many county chairs and Republican officials. Chairman Cox, great to see you here today. And Chairman Langworthy, thank you for the leadership you've shown here in Erie County and throughout the state for many, many years. We appreciate your leadership. Thank you. I am the great-grandson of Italian-American immigrants that came here many years ago legally, and we're very proud of the fact. My dad was a middleweight prize fighter, for those of you who don't know. He had 96 professional fights in his career and lost 11. He beat the two world champs, but they weren't title fights. And the reason he never had a chance to fight for the title is that he would never take a dive. He was a very principled man and a great boxer. And I have fighting in my DNA. And I also want to tell you that the apple didn't fall far from the tree. This kid from the housing projects will never take a dive. I'm going to continue to fight for the issues that I believe in. I'm going to continue to be aggressive about the need for change. And as Nick mentioned, I was born in public housing. And I was raised by my mom and my nana. And my mom would have been here today. She's been with me for all the elections, except she told my sister yesterday that, Ange, I can't grow there. I haven't done my hair. So those of you who have Italian mothers understand that. So I look forward to discussing with you the issues of this campaign. I learned from my mother and my nana that hard work and dedication is what allows you to be successful, and they taught me to take stumbling blocks and make building blocks. That's what we're going to do in this campaign. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, we're going to get started with some questions. So the first person to respond has 90 seconds, and then the two rebuttals have 60 seconds each. So first question, the Buffalo Billion has been mired in controversy and has had questionable results. But there's no denying the region has struggled and has at least temporarily benefited from the injection of state funds and the positive publicity. Will you continue the Buffalo Billion? If not, what will you do to invigorate Western New York's economy? First up, Mr. Giambra.
Yes, the Buffalo Billion, unfortunately, has been a tremendous public policy failure. What the governor attempted to do here was to gain political access, if you will, to Western New York because of the tremendous beating he took by Carlo Palladino. So this was his way of trying to find a way to ingratiate himself politically using taxpayer dollars to fund a billion-dollar building that today sits virtually almost empty. That is failed public policy. What we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is get back to basics. We've got to figure out how to restructure state government. It's too big. It's too expensive. We've got to figure out how to restructure local government to bring the taxes down. Local property taxes in New York State, whether you're in Jamestown or Montauk, are 45% higher than the national average. So we need to stop this corporate welfare. It's a failed public policy. And get back to basics. Figure out how we can provide services better, smarter, and cheaper so that we can get local property taxes down. If we're successful in doing that, you're going to see existing businesses reinvest, create more jobs. You'll see new businesses coming to our communities, whether it be the city of Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester, or Nassau or Suffolk. It's about reducing the size and cost of government. I have a history of doing that, and I would look forward to working with all of you in this room to figure out how we can do just what we've done here in Erie County when we cut taxes 30%.
Mr. Joe Holland?
The Buffalo Billions is an example of one of the biggest problems that we have in state government, which is the corruption that this governor represents. We have right now a trial going on in Manhattan of one of his chief aides, Joe Prococo, and that's an illustration of how this governor cannot conduct public policy in an effective way because it reeks with corruption. It's the kind of approach that has to be transformed, and we need the leadership that takes a macro approach, addresses the big issues like overspending and overtaxation, but also a micro approach which gets into the communities, which gets into the grassroots, and that's where I bring a particular strength for my work over the years in the Harlem community in New York City, where we were able to empower local organizations and small businesses to make a difference.
Mr. DeFrancesco?
Thank you. I remember being at the State of the State message, the second State of the State message of Andrew Cuomo. And it was easy to connect the dots because I know his DNA. Palladino beat him up in Western New York, since every decision he makes is based upon the political gain of that decision. It was logical that that's where he had to concentrate, and he used your money to concentrate on that. The problem, however, is you just don't throw money at a project. I've got one in Syracuse, a $90 million empty building. That's the way he does things, and he is able to, and that building is the subject matter of this criminal complaint down in Manhattan. And you've got to have an economic development policy that benefits everybody, not the hand-picked few that would be beholden to him politically. And that's his MO. And so, in my mind, you need tax cuts across the board, regulatory cuts across the board, so everybody has the ability to, if they've got a good project, to benefit from these types of projects in the state of New York.
Great, thank you. Next question. As part of the Buffalo Billion, the governor has spent $750 million building a solar panel factory for Tesla. They originally promised over 1,500 high-paying manufacturing jobs. Now that's been adjusted to 500 manufacturing jobs and approximately 1,000 associated jobs. Is this how economic development should work, and what would you do differently? Let's start with Mr. Joe Holland.
Unfortunately, this governor has been colonized by the environmental lobby. And so all of these policies where solar panel factories, it's not based on a grassroots and an economically driven approach in order to create the kind of development that's needed, but it's dictated by policies of the far left. And that's unfortunate because it won't work. We have a great opportunity to bring a new technology for energy revolution in the state of New York, fracking. This governor is anti-fracking. His own DEC originally studied this and said it was an environmentally responsible technology, and so that fracking can happen. We have the Marcellus Shale, the Utica Shale. We can transform the economy of upstate New York by using hydraulic fracking as a way to bring new jobs, new economic development, instead of seeing all of that development go south over the border into Pennsylvania. We're looking at trillions of dollars of cubic energy and clean energy that can be developed, but we need to be strategic about it, we need to be intentional about it, and we need to take a different approach than this governor has taken that's driven by leftist philosophy instead of economic policy that can be good for the state of New York.
Mr. DeFrancesco?
As far as that plant is concerned, it ties directly in what I said a moment ago. Namely, the governor does things based upon the political benefit he's going to get. He had a great news conference, thousands of jobs. There was nothing behind it. There was no clawbacks, or there was no security that the taxpayer had once he did that. And so, not thousands of jobs, now it's down to 200. You're not alone. Look at the Sora project in Syracuse, $90 million building sitting there empty. And you know what he wants to do? No penalties for them walking away. He wants to get an individual who had a company by the name of Agony, went bankrupt in Rochester after this big 300-job press conference with the governor, did nothing. So now he changed its name to NextGen. Comes to Syracuse, the governor has already said he wants them to get $15 million more, and it's the same CEO of the company that went bankrupt. And he won't show the security that the state would have in it. So I put a bill in that will rectify that. I've instructed the Senate to vote no on that project, and hopefully that will happen.
Mr. Giambra?
As a fiscally conservative Republican, I can tell you that I'm a firm believer in the market forces, and we should not try to artificially interfere with the normal market forces. And that's what this governor's tried to do. He's tried to interfere with the market forces for his own political expediency. And that's what this governor is all about. It's about King Andrew. And it's time we send a message that we have to dethrone the king. He has spent all of his time dealing with political concerns and not governmental concerns. He's a governor who has become extremely arrogant, pompous, and no wonder many of his staff people have tried to leave, except Joe Prococo told them they couldn't. And that's one of the problems. We can't run a government as a dictator. We have to build consensus. Albany is one of the most dysfunctional governments right now, probably in the country. And it's going to take somebody with leadership, commitment, and somebody who's not concerned about their own political career. I had a career in politics, a good one. I'm not looking for a career. I'm looking for an opportunity to change the discussion and to change the dynamics and change the outcomes in New York State.
About 40% or $67 billion of the state's $168 billion budget goes to health care. How do you propose to get this spending under control? Let's start with Mr. DeFrancesco.
Yes, I mentioned at the outset that we need fundamental change in the state of New York. And you don't get fundamental change by trying to make minor changes around the edges. The two most costly things in state government are education and health care. One out of three people in the state of New York are on Medicaid. It's supposed to be a program for the poor, the disabled, the people that can't afford Medicaid, can't afford health care. One third, we spend more on Medicaid than the states of Texas and Florida combined. Now, if people say, well, we need this, it's impossible to say that. You have to review the basically a couple of things. How are people becoming eligible? And should they be eligible? Because we're way out of whack with other states. Number two, New York State provides every optional coverage. The federal government says you have to do this, 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 and this. And you can if you want to do this, and we'll help you, but you'll have to pay the rest. Well, we've got every single optional coverage that's available. We have the Cadillac of insurance policies in Medicaid in the state of New York, even better than some people who are the people that are paying for insurance. That's simply not right. So you got to look at those two areas specifically, and then you could deal with this overspending in healthcare. If we don't tackle that and education, then we're never going to make the fundamental change. And I think we can with the right person at the top that's got the guts to make the hard decisions and explain why they're the right decisions.
Mr. Giambra?
Yes, the reason we have some of the highest health care costs in the nation, and in New York State in particular, as Senator DeFrancisco mentioned about the comparisons between Texas and California and New York, there's a lot of reasons for that. And part of it, again, is political corruption. If you look at the campaign finance laws in New York State, we have to figure out how to take the big money out. And if you look at some of these campaign finance reports, you're going to find that Big Pharma is a huge contributor to this governor. You're going to find that the other special interests in the healthcare space are big contributors. And that's what's governing this this governor's decision. So we need to look and be creative. We need to look at what happened in Massachusetts with former Governor Mitt Romney, created a new healthcare program in Massachusetts. And guess what? It's working. It's saving money and people are getting the benefits we need. So those are the kinds of initiatives that I'm looking forward to trying to work with the state legislature to change the outcomes, to figure out how we can provide health care in a much more cost-effective way. Let's deal with the trial lawyers who are part of this problem. Let's deal with Big Pharma, where you can buy a drug in Canada for a dollar and they charge you $100 here. So that's what we need to do. Look at other states and see where they've had success and try to emulate that here.
Mr. Holland?
It's important to dig into the details, as my fellow candidates have mentioned, but it's also important to take a visionary approach. And we look at what's happened down in Washington, D.C. with the Trump administration. It was important under the tax reform bill to end the individual mandate under Obamacare. That was an important step to take. We need to take the same kind of visionary approach at home and prioritize who are those who are hurting the most in our state. I'd like to highlight, you know, those with developmental and intellectual disabilities who this governor has totally pushed to the side, totally ignored, and has prioritized others. But there are those who have these life challenges because they were born with them due to no fault of their own, who cannot get the services that they need to live a simple and fulfilled life. That's the kind of priority that we need to take in the State House so that those who are hurting the most can get the services that they need.
Thank you, gentlemen. About 21% or $36 billion of the state's budget goes to education. New York has the highest spending per student in the entire country. Is this level of spending sustainable, and are we getting enough bang for our buck? Let's start with Mr. Giambra.
It's absolutely unsustainable. We have an education system in New York State where every year you've got this governor raising taxes, raising fees to throw more money at the education problem. And what's the result? Lower test scores. There is no correlation between raising taxes and putting more money in the system and getting better outcomes. So one of the things I want to look at in the area of consolidation and merger is that we have 733 school districts in the state of New York. That is absurd, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I don't know what the right number is, but I suspect there's some number between 1 and 733 that makes a lot more sense. We need to go after the administrative duplication the administrative overlap and take the waste out of the back office operation and free up some of those dollars to be used in the classroom. We don't need to raise more taxes and fees. We need to spend the money more appropriately.
Mr. DeFrancesco?
Yes. Everybody here realizes more people are leaving than staying in the state of New York. With that in mind, you can't keep raising taxes. You can't keep affording this type of system that costs so much. And the education department is one of those. But what does the governor do in this budget? $1 billion in revenue enhancers. If you don't have the Cuomo dictionary with you, that means taxes and fees. And that's exactly what we can't do. As far as education, the answer is simple. It's not just additional money every year. The answer is simple. You've got to get rid of the bureaucracy. I put in a bill to get rid of the Board of Regents. I'm not sure what the Board of Regents does other than pontificate and come up with more mandates, unfunded mandates on the school districts that they have to comply with. My proposal is to get the money into the classroom, unshackle the teachers so they don't have to spend half of their time filling out forms on nonsensical regulations. They could spend their entire time on teaching. Then the results will be better and the cost will be much more affordable.
Mr. Holland?
Overspending is a problem, but how the money gets spent is also a problem. I've worked in the schools of Harlem teaching life skills to those who really need a holistic approach. And that's what we need to bring to the state government approach. Accountability structures that target the money that we spend to those districts that most need the help. Governor Cuomo's education commissioner says, no, we're not going to target. We're not going to give the kind of direction and leadership. Now, there's a balance here. We don't want top down, but at the same token, we also need the money to go to the districts who need the most help, and when the money goes there, we need a holistic approach where we're looking at both the academic side as well as the life skill side so that the students can be empowered and the teachers can be held accountable so that the graduation rates, which in some districts are 50 to 60%, can then be transformed and students can go on and pursue the American dream.
The New York State budget is over $168 billion. The state of Florida has a million more people, but their budget is literally half as much. Yet no one is dying in the streets and the schools are performing just fine. Why is the cost of government in New York so high, and how do you propose to get it under control? Let's start with Mr. Holland.
I see this as Governor Cuomo's greatest failure, and I call it the unholy trinity of overspending, overtaxation, and overregulation. And it's a philosophy of big government that is just killing the way we manage our citizenry in this state. There has to be a totally different approach taken where it's not about spending, 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 and taxing, taxing, taxing. You know, it's about taking a philosophy that says, how can we manage, how can we be efficient, and how can we allocate these funds in a way that makes a difference? I am an outsider to Albany, but I have Albany experience, both legislative and executive. I am a small businessman. You know, I bring that kind of sensibility, that kind of perspective, that kind of commitment. I know how to build teams. I know how to bring people together in order to transform first the philosophy and strategy in the State House, and then have the team in place to implement the changes. Is that going to reduce the spending, which is totally out of control? Even this year, we start with a $4 billion deficit that this governor wants to close by raising more taxes and raising more fees. It starts with the leadership perspective and conviction and changing that around, and I can bring that to the State House.
Mr. Giambra?
Yes, it's the fundamental difference between them and us. As Republican conservatives, we understand that we have to make government work better, smarter, and cheaper. And there's a way to do this. What I would propose to do, if elected governor, is to appoint what I call a who does what commission. There are so many different departments and agencies within state government, it's out of control. So the first thing we have to do is figure out who's doing what, how are they doing it, why are they doing it? Why not look at the possibility of merging the New York State Department of Transportation and the New York State Thruway Authority? Why not look internally to see where we can find economies of scale so that we don't have to raise taxes? The state budget deficit, we heard about this $4 billion deficit. Everybody in Albany said, oh my gosh, how did this happen? It wasn't like Hiroshima, it wasn't unexpected. When they adopted the budget in Albany, it had a structural deficit. State Comptroller DiNapoli said the budget that the state legislature and the governor were adopting was not balanced. Recurring revenues did not match recurring expenditures. Everybody knew it. The state comptroller issued his first quarter report. Revenues are down, expenses are up, the second, third quarter the same. So the folks in Albany, the institution, has said, wow, how did this happen? Yet adopted a budget that wasn't balanced, and the same thing is going to happen this year. You mark my words. They're going to use gimmicks and one-shots to fix the structural problem.
Mr. DeFrancesco?
Yes, I think it was Jimmy McMillan who famously said, rent's too damn high. I think that was in one of the presidential elections. Well, taxes are too damn high, and you don't solve problems or deficits by continuing to increase taxes. We've already talked about two issues. Medicaid, we spend more than many states combined. We've got to look at who's eligible. We got to look at the optional services. Education, we got to streamline the system so that the teachers are teaching, not resolving things because of regulations that are needless and don't help the kids. But there's another problem. We have a corruption tax in the state of New York. And I was down at the trial. I can't even remember when. The days keep blurring between one from the other. But we were down in New York, and I was on the steps of the courthouse. That trial's about that SORA project in Syracuse. If you've got all these people getting in dollars so that they can contribute to the governor, then of course the cost of government is going to be higher. You've got to have someone with integrity at the top.
New York State has over 49,000 pages of regulations that are strangling our businesses, stifling our economy, and suffocating our citizens. How do you plan on rolling back these regulations and reining in the state's bloated bureaucracy? Let's start with Mr. DeFrancesco.
Well, I think what I would do is get out the pen and use executive orders to quickly not have to worry about the liberal Democrats in the assembly that want every regulation because it'll employ some of their people that are the organizers on the street for their campaigns. I'd get the pen out and immediately start eliminating needless regulations, much in the same way as the president's did in his first year. So that's one way to get at the regulatory problem. The other way to get at the regulatory problem is you don't create stuff that requires more regulation. The minimum wage is a perfect example. He went to his labor commissioner, who he appointed, to see whether or not minimum wage should be increased to $15 an hour. And what do you think the answer is going to be? He hires and fires that person. And then now they're going into the regulations concerning tip wages. When most employees who are getting tips at restaurants, for example, don't want the change because the tips are more advantageous to them than than getting a few extra dollars in their regular paycheck. So you don't create things. You don't create free college tuition, which is not free. I think we figured that out. It's not free, it costs more money. And then you employ a group of people to issue the regulations for that free college tuition. It was done in 2 months on this particular project. So you know how valid those regulations were. So end regulations, first of all, by the executive orders, and second of all, by not creating problems that will require more regulations.
Mr. Holland?
My first act as governor of New York State would be to issue a moratorium on any new regulation coming out of the state of New York. It has to stop. My second act would be to create a statewide task force where you would bring not Albany bureaucrats or legislators, but small businessmen and women and civic leaders from around the state to look at these existing regulations and intentionally and strategically eliminate and restrict the regulations. It has to be done in this kind of concerted, visionary plan where you can get down into the roots and solve the problem. I served as vice president for many years of the Harlem Business Alliance, where we brought together small businesses and had these kinds of discussions and talked about ways that we could empower small business. And I would bring the same kind of collaborative approach to Albany.
Mr. Giambra?
Yes, I'm the only candidate on the stage this morning who actually has cut taxes. I cut taxes in Erie County 31%, and we fought the unfunded mandates. I'm a firm believer as a Republican conservative that government needs to stay out of our bedrooms and out of our boardrooms. There's much too much government regulation. We need to let the free market economies do what they're accustomed to doing. And we need to stop, you know, making everything in New York State political. I cut taxes, we'll do it in New York State if I'm the governor. We'll look at every single department and figure out how to do it better. And with your help and support, we can really make a difference in this state.